set dancing, GA, St. Bridget's cross weaving, and the Irish amateur dramatic tradition have all recently been given state recognition as integral to Irish culture. All four practices were added to Ireland's National Inventory of Intangible Cultural Heritage following a recommendation from the Expert Advisory Committee. Now, the aim of this list is to protect, promote and celebrate Irish living cultural heritage, practices, customs, crafts and traditions. And to tell us all about it, I am joined by Dr. Aoife Granville of UCC's Department of Folklore and Ethnology. Hi Aoife, delighted to have you on with us.
Hi Anna, thanks for having me.
What exactly is meant by Ireland's intangible cultural heritage and why is it so important to protect it?
Well, you kind of explained it there really yourself, Anna. But it is like everything, I suppose. I'd encourage people to look at this list. If you just look it up, Google the Irish Intangible Cultural Heritage and the list will come up. And I guess the idea behind the list and there's lists like this in most countries around the world is to recognise, I suppose, the distinctly Irish traditions from those that are connected with sports, to performance arts, to craft, to social practices, festival events and all of that type of thing, language as well in certain examples. So the Irish list is there quite a while, but I guess there is an application process that happens. So groups or individuals might apply for status. It goes to that expert panel. And then essentially the decision lies with the minister, in this case, Minister Catherine Martin, to add the tradition to the list. So it's just about protecting and recognising, I guess, and as you said, celebrating the traditions.
So it's essentially what's setting us apart from other cultures, things that are, as we've heard that phrase, uniquely Irish then.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess, you know, in many ways, it's surprising that Gaelic football and ladies Gaelic football isn't on the list till now. But that's because I guess the application process just it hadn't been applied for. Particularly special today, we're getting ready here in Dingle to welcome our the Kerry ladies football team back this evening. Yes. So it's great, you know.
More celebrations,
yeah. But yeah, so like, it's important really, I suppose, that we recognise the various traditions. And I suppose things like Gaelic football are certainly not in danger, you know, and there's many of the traditions on the list that aren't in danger, but some of them may be. And that's where I suppose being on the list is important too. So when it might come to a particular tradition maybe feeling at a local level or at a national level that they need supports, well then I guess the state will have, I suppose, a responsibility in those cases to maybe help out, which is important as well, you know.
Can you give us an idea of some of the things that are already on the
list? Yeah, it's very varied, like, and I think for most people, if you look at the list, there'll be things on it that you recognise, like hurling, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We have three from the list that are also internationally recognised by UNESCO and hurling, which does include camogie. I went to check that to see earlier. Yeah, it'd be nice to see that on the official title, though, actually, hurling and camogie. The harp, Irish harp and Uilleann piping. We've traditional music. You have like four different types of lace making, from Limerick lace to Carrickmacross. Traditions that are associated with agriculture, I suppose, and agricultural practices, and also some of the tools, the traditional tools involved, dry stone walls. So very, very varied, some of the boat making. But I guess, you know, there's some things that aren't on the list as well, which should be worth mentioning, I suppose. Some of the things that stick out to me, I suppose, you had a lovely feature with Sinead yesterday on the road bowling. That's not on it, for example. Aran knitting, those sort of things. And maybe people will have an idea today of other traditions that aren't on it.
And they can get applying.
Yeah, because I think that's important. And I certainly hadn't understood that until a couple of years ago, that there was an application process in this. So and there's pilgrimages and things like that on it as well.
So, you know, set dancing was one of the things that was added in this round. It's still very popular in many parts of the country.
In many parts of the country, like, and I suppose set dancing was the group dancing that would have been for hundreds of years, like, part of any social gatherings, you know, for us in Ireland. And I suppose, like, many traditions, I suppose, it's sometimes confined to certain areas. So there would be, you know, strong set dancing traditions around here in my local area in West Kerry, in Clare, in Galway, throughout the country, really. And the group that put in the application for this are the Brooks Set Dancers in Dublin, who are really renowned. But set dancing, generally speaking, like if you go to festivals of traditional music, not alone in Ireland, but throughout the world, set dancing features very prominently. And we were just at the Willie Clancy Summer School there in Milton Malby a couple of weeks ago, and the set dancing classes are booming. And you have set dancers coming from Japan, from the States, from all over the world. So in our diaspora communities as well, it's something that's very important. And as you were mentioning there, it's great exercise too. So, you know, like I know in East Kerry here, like Glenfinlask and Kilcommon and places like that, the kids are set dancing from a young age at score and FLAS and competitions, and they're wonderful athletes as well as artists, you know.
And sometimes showing up the older people. But what I love with something like set dancing is that, like you just mentioned, young and old can take part in that. You can have 10 or 12 year olds and, you know, 60, 70 year olds plus dancing in the same set. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's wonderful, that intergenerational thing. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be the best dancer in the world for set dancing. I think that's very important. Yeah. So, you know, we're used to looking at the more step dancing, river dance style dancing in many ways, which is so intricate. And some set dancing is very intricate, but the beauty of it is that you're not alone and that you have eight people in your set, and you know, it's not the end of the world if you get a step wrong.
And you keep smiling and they won't be looking at your feet. That's
absolutely
my motto anyway. Now, St. Bridget's crosses, I remember making them in school, but what I do want to talk about is Irish amateur dramatic tradition, because we all have the amateur drama groups, you know, in communities across the country. In Salins, where I live, they put on plays recently, and it's wonderful to support those, because again, anybody with, you know, no background in acting can get involved in those as well.
Absolutely. And I think, and some people have been surprised that this was added to the list, like in the last few weeks. I think it's really, really welcome, because the amateur drama groups throughout the country, they have for many, many years provided really an integral part of our social sort of scene, especially in rural Ireland. I think we have a wonderful group here, Ashtori Vrenan, who work through Irish in the Gaeltachtaí. You have people working through Irish, and you have Irish language groups, theatre groups in the cities as well now. But really, like the set dancing, it can be very intergenerational as well. And you have these amateur groups who are really functioning at a very professional level, I would say, as well. So the shows they're putting on, and they're really part of our social scene where they are. And I think I was saying that there, you know, some of the traditions and that are added and the activities added to the lists should guarantee getting support now. And I think in some areas, some amateur groups may be under pressure, or they may need, you know, spaces are more difficult for place for groups now, and for putting a theatres, you know, theatres are, you need a little bit of money, I guess.
Yeah. And a bit of support. It does go a long way. And give us that website again, Aoife.
So it's part of the department's website, and it's kind of a long website, but it's National Inventory ICH. You'll get it from that. And like, I would encourage people to go and have a look at it,
absolutely.
And especially look at what maybe might not be on it. So maybe some of the Aran Knitters and the Inishman or Inishir might be listening, or the Road Bowl from yesterday, and they might think about putting in an application.
Get the applications form going. Dr. Aoife Granville, UCC Department of Folklore and Ethnology, it was lovely to chat to you this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Anna.
I'm feeling very patriotic now, I have to say.